Hello and welcome back to 365 Days with MXM Tune. I'm Maya, a singer, songwriter, video maker, Oakland native, and a Pokemon master. I'm also a huge fan of history. I love untold stories, gross facts, hidden secrets, anything weird, dark, and funky from the past. Each day I'm going to share one of my favorite deep cuts with you, so let's take a look at today's stories.
It's 365 with MXM Tune. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.
Today in 2016, Pokemon Go was released. Developed by the video game company Niantic, the game grossed over $100 million in 20 days, breaking records for gaming apps everywhere. That summer, everyone was on their phones, tracking down the nearest Pikachu or Dragonite and trying to catch them all. If you're not still logging in on a regular basis, swiping Pokestops at relevant monuments and tossing Pokeballs at every last Pidgey that crosses your path, you might be surprised that Pokemon Go is actually still a really popular app. At its peak during the summer in 2016, Pokemon Go drew in over 250 million people per month, but now about 72 million people play each month. And honestly, that's still pretty good. For comparison, about 92 million people use TikTok each month. When the game was first released, it was pretty glitchy. The servers were perpetually overwhelmed with the sheer number of players online at any given time. And now, the game is much more playable, and tons of new features have been added, like trading, battling, and research quests. Catching Pokemon in real life is cool, but what made Pokemon Go so successful is that it was one of the first augmented reality games to earn mainstream adoption. Augmented reality is kind of like a lesser version of virtual reality. For example, if you use a TikTok effect that makes your face look like a cartoon, you're using AR. Or if you're buying a chair online and the website lets you use your phone camera to see what the chair would look like in your own living room, that's AR too. These features combine the real world and the virtual world in a way that isn't quite as immersive as wearing a VR headset, for example, but they still complement the way that we interact with technology. In Pokemon Go, the AR technology means that you can encounter Pokemon in your surroundings. So if you're at the park, an Oddish might appear, and you can see how it would look beneath a tree or on top of a log. Pokemon Go was also boundary-breaking in that it's designed to bring people together in real life. Now, one of the main features in the game is raid battles. A powerful legendary Pokemon like Mewtwo or Moltres will appear at a gym, and even if you're the strongest Pokemon player in the world, it's literally not possible to beat the legendary raid boss without help from friends. People use apps like Discord to coordinate with other players in their area, and then meet up at the gym location to battle. A lot of people actually make real friends through running into the same people at raids, or sometimes people just kind of tap their phones together, not talking, but you know the drill, to each their own. Some Pokemon are also exclusive to particular regions. So for example, only people in Europe can catch a Mr. Mime, and only people in Japan can catch a Farfetch'd. I'm not sure if anyone would go to Europe solely for a Pokemon, and if they did, good for them, honestly, but it's still a fun perk to encounter new creatures in different parts of the world. Of course, when it comes to augmented reality, you gotta be careful. When Pokemon Go first came out, there was a lot of collective concern about distracted pedestrians accidentally walking into traffic. But that's more on the user themselves, too. You know, pay attention to their surroundings. And still, Pokemon Go has led people into some really strange experiences. In the first week of the game's release, a teenager in Wyoming wanted to find a water Pokemon, so she went down to a nearby river. Pretty reasonable, right? Water Pokemon actually do tend to appear more frequently near bodies of water, but down by the river, she found a floating body. She exited the game, called 911, and never did get that Pokemon, but she did help solve a mystery. Most Pokemon Go experiences aren't quite that intense, and especially as the summer weather arrives, it's still pretty fun to walk around and see what Pokemon might appear. Now, let's talk about music. Today in 2020, the Dalai Lama released the album Inner World, a collection of Buddhist mantras and prayers set to music. This record honored the 85th birthday of the Dalai Lama, the highest spiritual leader of Tibet. Proceeds from the album benefited the Mind and Life Institute and the Social, Emotional, and Ethical Learning Program, an educational initiative that the Dalai Lama developed with Emory University. This wasn't the first time that a major religious icon released an album. Pope Francis put out a record called Wake Up in 2015, and it even got a review on Pitchfork. The culture writer, Gia Tolentino, who wrote the review, gave it a rating of 3.16, a nod to the famous biblical verse. She said, "Pope Francis releases a prog rock album could only be a better punchline if the genre was swapped out with chillwave. And nonetheless, here we are." The Dalai Lama's album wasn't as meme-y, but still, music is an important part of religion, so it only makes sense that these leaders release records. And now for today's final segment, I'll be going back into my own photo archives to see what I was up to on a July 6th in my life. On July 6, 2017, I was down in LA going to UCLA for a college campus visit. I mentioned, I think the other day that I visited, I was on a bunch of college campus visits for the week of July here. And I went to UCLA. I applied to UCLA. I got rejected from UCLA. But I remember being like pretty blown away at just being able to see the campus for the first time, given that so many movies have been shot on the campus that I've watched and I love very dearly. I remember even walking around on the campus and feeling like I didn't quite see myself going and being in that space. And I don't know if I really let myself reflect on that at the time. I ended up obviously not going to college, but I remember even vividly like feeling the kind of displacement that I didn't know if this was where I wanted to go next. And I'm glad I didn't for my own path, and I'm excited to in the future if I ever eventually go back to take classes. But, I think like just as a reminder to anybody listening to this podcast, if you're someone who's considering going to college or applying, or if you haven't gone and you want to later on in life, or maybe you want to go back and you want to reclaim the experience for yourself, like everything happens on your own time. There's no rush or pressure to make decisions. I know that sometimes external forces make us feel like there is some sort of timeline that we need to follow and there's a right way to do something, but that's just not true. Take your time. Your life is your own, and allow it to happen on the clock the way you want it to, would be my biggest piece of advice as a, little 20-year-old. Thanks for going back in time with me, and remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Come back tomorrow for more stories from the past.
It's 365 with MXM2. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough.